Turn with me to a couple of verses of God's Word. First of all, in Psalm 103, and in verse 13 and 14. Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. And now in Isaiah 46, and we might read there from verse 4. Well, from verse 3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear you, even I will carry and will deliver you. And verse 7, this is speaking of the God that men have made. They bear him upon the shoulder, they carry him and set him in his place, and he standeth. From his place shall he not remove, yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. May the Lord give us guidance. A word at the close of the Lord's day. A day wherein we have sought fellowship. I always learned that fellowship really means to share with someone in something. And one of the best examples that I have seen personally of fellowship was in the jungle in Peru, in La Selva. And we had bogged the Land Rover down. Land Rovers won't go everywhere, you know. And the only thing one could do when one had literally bogged the Land Rover down up past the axles was to strip to the waist, take off shoes and socks, get your trouser legs up as far as they could go, get someone else in the driver's seat, putting into low wheel ratio, first gear, and then you got out, and in the mud, you began to push. If that didn't work, then you jacked it up, you were working in mud, you jacked it up, and put other things under the wheels, and tried again. And if that didn't work, you kept doing it until you were building the Land Rover up sufficiently to drive out of the mud. Well, I was perspiring there in the mud up to my waist sometimes, yes. And suddenly, five or six of the Peruvian brothers who were passing were down there in the mud with me, pushing with me. We were having fellowship in the mud. Children, you would have loved it if your mum and dads would have allowed you out in the mud with us. We were having fellowship in sharing something. And we were sharing our strength and sharing our joy in being able to help each other and to be able to be with others and seeking to do something useful for each other. Fellowship is an exceedingly rich, rich thing that too often we take for granted. But just to share, just to talk around something to eat, how worthwhile that is to share as believers. And to come at the end of a day where we have had fellowship around the word, fellowship in reading and hearing, fellowship in singing, fellowship in prayer, seeking Christ above all, fellowship in the breaking of the bread, the breaking of the word of God, and to come at the close of a day to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Help me to go into this week having learned something today that will not leave me. Some small thing that I can hold on to. Something that I can think over when I lay my head down to sleep and sleep won't come. Some little snippet concerning Jesus. Some simple word, Lord God, where we are all simple creatures. Oh, we would love to have that intellect that would break up the word of God, that would put it into such succinct terms that would be a blessing 500 years hence. Oh, how we give thanks for the work of the saints of old, who have left us so much, so very, very much. I will not even mention one of them. But you have your favorite authors, and you turn to them, and the word is broken, and Christ, as it were, is like the lemon that is squeezed out. Not a drop left. They give us Christ. They give us Christ in all his matchless beauty, in all his glory, in all his power, in all his tenderness. Oh, they squeeze out Christ for us. But when the Holy Spirit takes the word and squeezes out the word to us, and the sweetness of Christ is distilled to us, oh, we may go down into the valley floor this week. We've been there before. And we have not been afraid of the evil. For we were conscious, not always, but we were conscious that he was leading us. A word to strengthen us, to strengthen us to live lives of thankful obedience to the Lord. In a day of small things, in a day of such difficult things, Paul would understand them. The early disciples would understand the day in which we live. Peter would understand them. He was writing to the saints who were scattered abroad because of persecution. Oh, they were receiving and hearing of the blessedness of God. And how we are to live in such a way, wherever we are, so as to speak well of our God. Let's seek the Lord's help in turning to these words in Psalm 103, verse 14, and Isaiah 46, verse 4 and following. First of all, Psalm 103, verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. The Lord knows. The Lord knows our frame. He knows our being. This body of ours, this mind of ours, this soul of ours. He knows it. He knows it so well. It's not the first time we have heard it said. He didn't turn out as we expected. He gave such promise, and he didn't turn out as we expected. We thought we knew him, but how he disappointed us. I expected so much. Even a child of God can disappoint others. When the Lord's people, or rather the world initially, when the world looks at us, they can be so disappointed in the Christian. And sometimes their very word is, I never thought a Christian would say that. I never thought a Christian would do that. And we can disappoint our neighbors. And then we can disappoint each other. We can disappoint the Lord's people. Sometimes we expect too much of each other as Christians. Like the world, we are looking for perfection. And oftentimes we are looking for perfection in our brother, not in the mirror. For you see, we even disappoint ourselves. We disappoint ourselves. The deeper that we dig into our hearts, the longer that we have to dig into our hearts, the more and more of self and sin we find in our own hearts. The more and more of self and sin we find there. And we wonder, do we have grace at all? Am I the Lord's or am I not? What a burden that is to some believers. And we might think, well, there is someone and I've never seen, I could never believe that they have doubted that they are saved. Oh, I know, I've heard them doubt many a thing, but I've never doubted that they are saved. I never doubted that they were Christ's. And yet there can come a time in that individual's life when they doubt it, when they wonder, am I Christ's? My thoughts, I never used to have these thoughts. I never even had these thoughts before I thought I was converted. But why is it in my middle age, in my reckless old age, these thoughts are tearing me apart? Can I be Christ's? Can I be truly converted? And we disappoint ourselves. But then the child of God not only disappoints the world, not only disappoints other believers, not only disappoints himself, but oh, when he feels he is disappointing God. I've let you down, and I've let God down. I've let the congregation down, and I've let our Lord down. How can this be? The saints of God disappointed with themselves. Yes, we can understand that. Disappointed other believers in them, the world disappointed in us, but disappointed in ourselves. I'm sure that we have disappointed God. At times, even the nearest who walk with Christ sometimes wonder if grace has ever been theirs. But the Lord knows our frame. The Lord knows our being. He is never disappointed with his child. The Lord does not draw us out of darkness into his marvelous light without first knowing us. Our hearts may be filled with the most wonderful of intentions, but when he finds his child, he finds him, he finds her in the waste howling wilderness. He finds that one in agony, in waywardness, in rebellion. He finds that one living everything they can against God. He knows that there is evil in his child's heart, and he knows that it will remain. Our Lord knows that he knew that David would sin, that David would fall. He knew that Peter would deny the Lord Jesus on 3 different occasions. He knows that good will never come from our hearts. No good thing can come out of his child's heart. And yet, can God's child ever disappoint God? For the Lord knows his child. He knew him before he even began to know himself. And if that were not so, God would be disappointed with his children day after day, moment by moment. And then if this were true, the Lord would weary of us and cast us out of his love. We deserve nothing else, but he knows our frame. He knows our being. We can't think of the Lord drawing us to himself on even one sole condition, that we would never disappoint him. Ah, with that bloom of first love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we were walking 6 feet above the ground. Nothing could touch us. Nothing could come near us. And how then we spoke of Christ to sinners. How then we sought them out here and there. And we feared not to speak of Christ, our Savior. our first bloom of first love for Christ, and we could never think that ever would come the day we would disappoint our Lord. Never would we go against his will. We would never seek to love him. We would never seek to have anyone else with such that all-important place in our total life. With such love for Christ, we were determined. We knew we would keep all his commandments. Were we ready to say with Peter, I will lay down my life for thy sake. But the child of God's grace disappoints himself so very much. There is so much of self in our love. Coming back from the mission fields, folk wanting to hear how things were. Oh, did I need to exaggerate that? Did I need to put it in such a way that folk will go away thinking the better of me instead of the better of Christ and God's working? Can I speak of the Lord's saints and keep myself out of the picture? Those who have left behind in the jungle area, those who are left behind carrying the burden of the day, or those pastors in Eastern Europe that I visited. I could come home. I had to leave them in all such difficulties. But could I speak of them and lift them up and leave myself out of it altogether? Oh, we speak so much of self. And we are so silent. So silent to say much about the Lord, our Saviour. But the Lord knows his child, the child of God's love and God's grace, can never disappoint God for this simple fact. He knows our frame. You see, God has set the limits to our frame. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. If your adoption as a child of God depends on your obedience, then each one of us would be excluded from God eternally. But the Lord knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. Can you be disappointed with dust? On holiday, we saw two little children. Well, there were three of them. One was in the pushchair. And I kept peeking round to play, you know, eyes to eyes with the baby in the pushchair. And he was loving it. But his mother turned round and she was suspicious. And she always got ourselves between us. But we could see the other children. She couldn't hide them. And it was that lovely warm sand that has no moisture in it at all. You do this and it blows away. And they were trying to build a castle, of course. And then they got stones and put that round the bottom to save the sand from drifting away from them. Can we be disappointed with dust? These little ones were disappointed because there wasn't any moisture in the sand to hold it together. But can we be disappointed with dust? God is not disappointed with his choice. He remembers what we are. And it's good for you and I to remember what we are, isn't it? Oh, we want to do exploits for the Lord. Yes, we do. Oh, we want to be those who can stand at the marketplace in Edinburgh and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. We want to be those who can thunder out the majesty of God in the mercy of Jesus Christ and see sinners come to Christ. We long for that. But we are dust. God knows that. Surely he is not disappointed with his choice. For to be disappointed in his child means he is disappointed in his choice. If he would be disappointed with us, then the Lamb's Book of Life would have every entry ever made scratched out and made unreadable. For he knoweth our frame. These words are for the believer increasingly disappointed in himself, who has returned so often at the close of a Lord's day, and his desire is, in closing his worship, Lord, go with me into the week ahead. And before he's home, he's discovered that so very much of what he heard has just gone. As if to open the car window was enough, and it just all faded away. A Christian who is disappointed in his own failures, he knoweth, my friend. These words are for those who weep before God's face because of the confusion that sin brings about in their hearts and life as believers. Left to himself, he knows that it's nothing but failure ahead. Can the Lord really be with me throughout the week? Not just today. Not just finding the strength and the encouragement and the love of God's people in being together. Not just the wonder of sharing and hearing of Christ and that marvelous grace. But this week, when I get into the workplace, when I get into my school desk, when I get out into the street, when I go to the local store, will he be with me then to uphold me in all that I would do for him, in all that I would be for him? How much do we know of his grace? I remember a dear pastor. We wanted to visit him at 7 o'clock in the morning before the work folks, the work people were up and about the streets, and before the secret police would call on his home in Romania. And I woke 3 or 4 in the morning. I couldn't move a finger. But eventually I managed to crawl literally to the toilet, to the bathroom, and collapsed there. I don't know how long, but after a while I managed to crawl back to bed, and that was me zonked out. And my brother Christian came through to see how I was. He had slept in. He had expected me to wake him about 6:30, before 6. We discovered later that I had been given some kind of poison just to knock me out, just to make it unpleasant so that I might go home. So we didn't get to that pastor's house at 7. But we got there at 12 o'clock to discover that the secret police had been with him all morning. And we would have walked into that. This dear man, a congregation of 2,000 in a country village, he had to have 2 services a day because they couldn't all get into church. He repeated the same twice in the morning and twice in the afternoon. He had his young people on a Thursday, 1,000 of them or so, in the manse garden. And he was told, stop, stop, stop. Stop doing this. The preaching was all right as long as people weren't being converted. But when the thinking of people was changed, then the communist government were in a state. And when the thinking of God's people will come to the surface more and more in our own land, then we will begin to know what persecution is. Not just that you and your children will believe what is sinful. Not only that you and your children will begin to live what is sinful. But if you don't, woe betide you. And that dear pastor, imprisoned in a cell for 10 with 30 or 40. And he preached a sermon every morning and he preached a sermon every night. And many of these men with him came to Christ. So, not being very bright, they put him in another cell, another crowded cell, and the same happened. Cell after cell, men after men being converted. And finally, they put him in solitary. And they left the light on. No watch, no clock. He didn't know what time of day it was. So how could he preach morning and evening? Well, he tried as best he could. Preached to the walls. And finally, an officer of the guard came in who had been particularly brutal. And he said, you know, when you came here, I thought your Jesus was a gimmick. I was determined to beat him out of you. But I've come to believe in him. Will you forgive me? And will you tell me how I can go and learn more about him? How can a man stand these things? The suffering, the beatings, the electric shock treatment. How was it that every time he came round from unconsciousness, his first words were, "Praise the Lord." A man in his 80s. The Lord knows the limits. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He knows the limits of our sinfulness, the sin that yet remains in the child of God, and he knows how far his child can be taken in suffering of any kind. Each one having a different limit, but the Lord knows how far you can go, for he knows our frame. And that is the one that he set his love upon. Lord, knowing us, he knoweth our frame. They are words for the child of God, who is saying to himself, where do I go? The church seems to be living in those days in Never Never Land. We talk about the past. We see evidence of the gospel in the lives of men and women still to this day. We see that. Evidence of gospel grace in days gone by. But what are we living in? Cloud cuckoo land? Oh, you tell me it was like this for Paul. Well, Paul isn't here. And I wasn't there with Paul. Let Paul come now. Let Paul show me. Let Paul teach me how to evangelize where people don't even want to talk about God, where they have no need of God, where the state gives them everything from cradle to birth, and when the state wants power over them from cradle to death. Show me what to do. Oh, he knows, my friend. He knows that we are dust. Oh, these brother and sister that we saw trying to make their sandcastle. The girl was a bit younger and a bit more impatient. The boy tried to do the engineering thing with the stones and so on. The girl, she just kept bringing it up and pouring it on. And she had no control over it whatsoever. Is that the church today? That we have no control? That we are just that big pile of dust that we're trying to make something out. We're trying to make a citadel for God. We're trying to make a city on a hill that cannot be hid. We're trying to show an established building. Established Christians standing and being blessed to the saving of souls, to the changing of our society. I read this, let me quote. The Lord does not have children from whom he expects much. He has children to whom he gives much. He doesn't have children from whom he expects much. He has children to whom he gives Christ. To whom he gives Christ. Oh, he knows us. Frail man, he knows us. Made from the dust. And what does he do with the dust? Forms it in his time into the image of Christ. I could see something of a castle in what the two children were doing. From all the sand around, there was this big heap. And a little imagination, you could see it was a castle. Oh, the Lord sees what he's doing. The Lord knows what he's doing with his children. The Lord knows what he's doing with his church. It might not what we want to see here and now. It might not be what we want to experience here and now. But he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And Paul was able to say, Lord, you know my frame. You know I pleaded with you that this pain, this burden that I had might pass from me. And you tell me, I am dust. And that the grace of my Savior is sufficient for me, and by his grace I can do all things. And now we go into Isaiah. Even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and I will deliver you. From the womb, I will carry you. I have made you. I will bear. I will carry you. I have made from the very dust. I will carry you. Oh, what the Holy Spirit does to a pile of dust. Forms not only a man, not only a woman, not only a child, but forms his child in Christ from that dust. This is a word to God, from God to his people. They had turned away from God. They had turned to serve idols. And he said, I will carry you. I will carry you. I will do all that is necessary for you. And what about the idols that you were making? They bear him up on their shoulders. They carry him. We saw this often in Peru. You've seen it in Colombia as well, where the idol is brought out of the church and set on two staves. And the idol is set there in the middle, and they go over the shoulders of two or four or more men. And the idol has to be carried around the city, around the pueblo, around the village. Because the idol cannot carry itself. But you make your idols. You look to them for help. You look to them to save. You look to them to deliver. And they can't do a thing. You carry them. You put them in the temple of worship. And you cry to them. And they can't hear. They can't answer. They can't reach out a hand. They are powerless. And the Lord says to his people, I will carry you. True religion is a religion that carries. That carries those who are the true worshippers. True religion is not a heavy religion. It is yoke easy. It is burden light. Isn't that what the Savior tells us? Come into his yoke. Lord, I've got a difficulty here. Just the other day, I picked up a very old Bible that had belonged to a family friend. She'd received it about 1922 as when she was leaving the Sabbath school. A very old Bible with brown and white photographs in it. And I showed one to my wife, and it was of a yoke of animals, a pair of animals. But one was a donkey, and the other was a light ox. And I thought, there's a problem here. Because the Bible tells us not to put two animals of different strengths in the same yoke. Lord, how can I take your yoke on me? Because surely you're going to put your arm along the yoke and you'll bear my part of the burden as well. There's no other way. No other way that we can be yoked with the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows our frame, who knows that we are dust, who knows that we are limited. But the grace of God in Christ Jesus is without limit. And yoked with Christ, he's going to bear his part of the yoke and my part of the yoke. Otherwise, nothing will be done for the Lord. David tells us of the giving of God's people for the temple. Chronicles, and David said it wasn't a temple he built, it was prepared for Solomon. And when he's thanking the Lord for giving so much to the people to give back for the building of the temple, he says, "Of thine own hand have we received." Now that puts us hand in hand with God. You give us, we receive. Let's suppose it's Mum's birthday, and one of you little ones here want to buy Mum a very special present for her birthday. But you've got no money. And there's no money in your bank. So you go and you remind Daddy, "Daddy, it's Mummy's birthday, the day after tomorrow." And Daddy knows what he has to do. And he puts his hand in his pocket and he takes out some money and he gives it to you so that with him you can go, or with big sister or big brother, you can go and buy that present for Mummy. And you just love to give it to Mummy and see how happy it makes her. But let's suppose it's Daddy's birthday. And again you go to Daddy and you kind of remind him that the day after tomorrow it's your birthday, Daddy. "Oh, I see." And Daddy puts his hand in his money, in his pocket, and he gives it to you, and you buy a present for Daddy. And then you go running to give it to Daddy because you love him so much and you want to see him so happy. You know what I'm saying, beloved. We don't give anything to the Lord but what he first gives to us in Christ. There's nothing we can give him. He knows our frame. He remembers we are dust. And he knows what his grace will do to that dust. Bring about, oh so slowly, a likeness to Christ. And our Father in glory desires no other present from his children than that they be like Christ. Oh, but sometimes the little one wants to carry. Maybe we've been out on a picnic and we have to carry things home or things to the car. And one little one says, "Oh, I want to be like my big brothers and sisters. I want to help. I want to carry something." And so they get something to carry. It's not too heavy, but it's theirs, and they're carrying it. And after a while, going up the sand dunes, they get more and more tired. And they just look pitifully at Daddy. Give what you're carrying to Big Sister. "No, I have to carry it." And so Daddy has to pick up you and what you are carrying. Again, you know what I'm saying, beloved. He not only bears us, but he bears the burdens he gives us for his own glory. Oh, he knows our frame. He remembers we are dust. and even to hoar heads, I will carry you. Carry you home, carry you through this week, and carry you until Christ comes, or until Christ calls. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Lord and loving Heavenly Father, to understand the word, to understand it, to accept it, to live it, to, oh Lord, to treasure it in our hearts and lives, and to know that we are known, and that, Lord, even if we are nothing but dust, oh, we marvel what grace does with dust. We marvel what has been done in our lives hitherto, Lord God. Oh, that we had made much, much progress in Christ. Oh, Lord, be near to us. Warm our hearts, strengthen our resolve. Oh, and in this day and age, revive the church. Revive the church for the glory of Christ. Amen.